Blog Talk Radio.
Are we on the air?
Yes, you are.
Here we go.
Hey, hey. Y'all know it's Tuesday Night Live on Brown Sugar Radio. Hey. And tonight we got Spike Spielberg in the house. Hey, hey. Come on, y'all. Y'all know we get it crunk on Brown Sugar Radio. Hey. We getting all the way live, y'all. And we're going to make it do what it do tonight on Brown Sugar Radio. That's what's up. Yes. Now, tonight, before I bring my guest live, I have to say that I have been truly fascinated with this young man's, and I'm going to call you young man because you're still young. So please don't take that as an insult, but definitely this brother is doing his thing. And, I mean, I have been fascinated with his career and everything that he has put into it, the hard work, the dedication, and I just think it's tremendous that he is doing an excellent job. And so tonight, I definitely want to show some love for Troy Whitehurst, but we also call him Spike Spielberg, and I definitely want to let this brother know that he ain't get away from us. He had a birthday this month, y'all. I'm putting him on blast, y'all. He had a birthday, so he's something young years old. We ain't going to say old, but definitely I just want to say I want to give him much love. And tonight we're going to learn behind the scenes. For those of you who are fascinated with movies and you love entertainment, now we're going to learn, we're going to flip the script tonight, and we're going to learn the other side, what goes on behind the camera. And so without further ado, at this time, I would like to bring on live my guest for the evening, Troy Whitehurst. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio.
What's going on, Brown Sugar?
Yeah. You know how we do.
Yeah, you
we can't bring you on without the hand clap. Hand clap. I need to go on and get, let me get that hand clap.
What's up now? It's a party always on Brown Sugar Radio, baby.
You know, that's what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming through tonight and showing some love to Brown Sugar Radio. We certainly want to do likewise for you.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a pleasure. Like I said, filming, entertainment, movies, that has been my thing. I love movies. I love music. And I said, what a better way. When I first had heard about you was actually through the Hill Girls. And I want to give them a shout out to Sherry and Felicia Hill.
Much love.
And, yeah, we got to get a Hill Girl some love. And I just was following your career. You actually even have your own radio station, radio show that you conduct. And I've listened to several of your segments, and I want to say, brother, you are doing your thing. You know, I got to give it up for you because you are just putting it out there, teaching us, the ones who really aren't too familiar with behind the scenes. And so tonight, what I want to do is have my listeners learn a little bit more about you, and then by all means, if you can share with us some of the behind the scenes secrets and what makes a movie, you know, even that much better with a great movie producer like yourself.
Oh, no.
All right? Absolutely. So, tell us, how did you get into this industry?
Well, actually, it was something that I kind of just fell into. Started out as an actor in the theater when I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you was into acting first.
Yeah. That was it. It was crazy because I never thought about it until I got to college. And I took this elective.
Okay.
You know, they make you take a few electives. And so I say, well, yeah, here's an acting for non-theater major. So I said, all right, I'm going to check it out. And I went to the class, and the lady say, I'm going to need everybody to do a monologue. So I'm like, well, what the heck is a monologue? I ain't never heard this term before. She's like, well,
right.
Like if you look at a movie or if you watch a play, it's like a long, continuous speech where no person is interrupted. Like right now, me and you are dialoguing. But if it was a monologue, right, if it's a monologue, mono meaning one, it's just one person talking. And I did this monologue from Vampire in Brooklyn, which the character was Silas Brown, I believe that was his name. And it was when the guy, if you ever seen Vampire in Brooklyn, the monologue that I did was when the guy first, the boat crashed on the pier, and the guy came out and he was like, oh, it's a wolf. the lady just thought it was just so hilarious. You know,
and no one whoever would have thought of that.
Right.
You
know
what I'm saying? I mean, you're very creative. Yeah, so that shows the creative side of Troy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at that moment, that's when you say, wait a minute, I got a gift here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. But it wasn't until we had our next project, which I had to do a serious monologue. The comedy was easy, you know. I had to do a serious monologue. And what it was different, what did it for me was I actually read the book. You know, that's where the name of my company, that's where Skibo Films comes from. It's self-knowledge elevates everything, being original. All of this is self-taught. You know, you can teach yourself whatever. I spent a lot of time in the library dissecting films, learning camera angles, learning different techniques, because, like, this wasn't my major. I majored in marketing and entrepreneurship.
Wow.
You know, so it was like, this was just something that I picked up. I realized that I was good at it. I had a gentleman ask me while I was in college, well, what would you do for free and you could do it every day and love to do it? And I say, well, I'm doing this right now for free, because after that class, it progressed, and I joined the theater group on campus. I started hanging with the theater majors.
Right.
And I started doing plays. And from doing plays, it caught the attention of a gentleman that was in film school in the city at that time. And he approached me about doing a short film. He had the script. All he had was a flyer and the script. He met me after the play was over. He was like, you know, I love your style. I need help producing this this film. And so I read the script, looked at it. It was called The Fuzz and the Jive. And it was about a basketball player that was going to school in like 1975 at a historically black college, and he met this Caucasian girl after one of the games, and you know, their relationship began to develop, and they got involved, but unfortunately she was murdered on campus.
What?
So, yes. So he became a suspect in the crime. And his roommate became a suspect, and the 6-year senior and notorious Weedhead Wallace, who lived next door, was also a suspect in the crime. And to add to the drama, her father was the police chief of the city. So,
shut up! What?
Yeah.
So, I'm like, what the world?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! So you sitting here and you peeping all this, and it's like, wow. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. What a strange twist.
Oh yeah. And you know, that was the first film. That film was like 35 minutes. It started out as a student project, but the film had a just huge feel to it. Like, I loved the story. I was fascinated by it. And I took it beyond the walls of the college campus and started entering it in different film festivals.
Right.
And so we went to Atlanta, we went to New York, we went to Miami, and I mean, we just, anybody that would watch the film, anybody that would buy the film, we did the Master P thing out of the trunk of the car. I got a book bag full of tapes and DVDs, and you know, anybody who would listen and would want to check us out, they checked us out. So The Fuzz and the Jive, we got into Spaghetti Junction Urban Film Festival in Atlanta. And that really, you know, we started meeting other filmmakers and distributors, and you know, and they were really interested in it. So,
that was
the beginning of the process. How the company got started, I had to write a business plan. Right. I had a business.
Wow. Okay, so tell us about that, because there's people I'm sure that are listening tonight that may want to learn how to become a film producer and what steps necessary to take.
Right. Well, like I say, being that I majored in entrepreneurship, I had to write a business plan for a company. So I decided to do it on this film company. So created this plan, and my business plan won first place. So they gave me some grant money to start my company. And I bought a camera, bought a laptop, and that's how I started doing it. You know, I didn't have, you know, like I say, any experience other than, you know, I knew some actors. I knew about the acting craft. You know, I started writing scripts, and we just started shooting them. And each one just got better and better and better until...
Wow.
You know, we got to the
point. No, go ahead. That's my background music.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. I know you're like, I'm jamming
over here. You got me popping. I'm on Brown Sugar Radio,
okay.
Baby. I'm in here. You
know what's funny? Every time, not to cut you off, but every time I put my background music on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a guest and they like, okay, is that the music? Is she telling me to shut up? Is that my Be Quiet music? I'm like, no, that's how we keep it live on Brown Sugar Radio.
I am digging it. I mean, it is like a dance is a party in Brown Sugar Radio, baby. I tune in when I can, but I really stay on the go a lot. So
yeah,
I check out your podcast. You know, you got some great guests that come on your show, and you in a wonderful city, baby. Las Vegas.
In Vegas. That's it, baby.
Hey,
Vegas Valley.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's what I heard.
It stays all the way on lock in Vegas.
Yeah, that's
what's up. I didn't want to throw you off there with my music.
We good
but
to go.
Yeah, so real quick, let me shout out the listeners in the chat room. I want to say what's up to CC. We got PB, who's also my co-host as well as my graphic designer. We got guest 1443, guest J5. What's happening, J5? Haven't heard from you in a minute. We got So Unique in the house. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. All the new listeners and then my loyal listeners, thank you for coming back through. Yeah, so that's what's up. But yeah, so okay, go ahead and continue telling us how you came up with your business plan.
That's pretty much how it is. I mean, what I would say for anyone that wants to get into filmmaking is just do it. I mean, you know, you do your first, you know, get a script. You know, you got a script idea. I always get people who got the script ideas. You know, you get your basic camera and, you know, a computer nowadays, and that puts you in the game, you know, with some basic editing software, and you start shooting, you pulling in family members. You'd be surprised what you get when you ask.
Right. That's what's
you know, when you
ask. Well, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not, right?
Exactly.
And a closed mouth can't get fed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in that. You know, I truly believe that it's important to make sure that, you know, you reach for the moon, you land among the stars. You know what I'm saying? You have to dream big. You have when you dream big, you'll achieve big. You know, and that's what's up.
For sure. So
most definitely, Eileen Smith, welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. But certainly, like I said, I have truly been fascinated. Now, one of my questions that I have for you as a film producer, when you're filming, okay? Because I know these movies take months. Sometime in order to film, you know, and how do you decide what to cut out of a movie and what to leave in, you know, because there's a lot of clippings we see, like when we buy the DVD and they say clipped or edited scenes. What is it, like your intuition, you know, on the inside that makes you say, okay, I have to take this out?
Well, I mean, there's a different, like a lot of those films that you're discussing are maybe like a Hollywood film, right? And those films are maybe financed by the production studios in Hollywood with some independent investors as well. And what will happen is the director will have a way that he wants the film cut. And the studios say, well, no, that might be too long or we don't want those scenes in there. But it was a good scene. That doesn't mean that the story can't exist without that. Like, you know, I recently did my first feature film, A Victim of Circumstance. And it's going to be premiering at the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival on March the 3rd. And the thing about that film is the script was actually about, the original script was about 95 pages. But But we didn't shoot everything because, you know, we found a way that we could tell the story without shooting everything that was written in the script and still have it make sense. So it's possible for you to, you know, you might have had something written or you might have shot something. It might have worked or it looked good on paper. It looked good while you're shooting it, but it may not be something that's necessary in order to, in order to make the story make sense or to have a continuous flow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So
now, what would you say is one of the most challenging aspects of being a film producer?
Wow. Oh, man. Of course, it's the financing. That is by far the most challenging aspect because, like, you know, you said, you went back to biblical. People have not because you asked not. And as a film producer, you have to go out here. You got to knock on doors. You got to ask people for money. You know, we had a gentleman on my show, Mr. Don Schmeichel, and he's a film producer out of Canada. And he equates it to going around with 10 cup in hand. You know, I mean, you're literally asking people for money, and you're asking people to trust you with their money, just like you would get someone to invest in any type of business. A film project is the same way, except for film investment is very different because it's a risky business. You don't know how it's going to be perceived. I mean, the movie could make $2 or it could make, you know, $200 million. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you got these people money tied up and invested, and you like, wow, they're going to be looking to you for some type of return.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been a long road. I mean, the thing about the film business, it's a thousand moving parts all in one, you know, that come together to bring together this one small project. And you're dealing with casting, you're dealing with actors, you're dealing with actors with egos, attitudes.
Yeah.
You're dealing with people's locations, you know, because,
you
know, we're not shooting on a soundstage. So we're actually live on location, whether it's somebody's restaurant, whether it's somebody's club, somebody's home. So you got to be mindful, scheduling and all that kind of stuff. So it's a very challenging process.
Wow. You know, I've never even thought of it like that before. So you're helping us look at it from a different perspective, you know, because that's true. You are using someone else's restaurant or, you know, someone's home. You know, there's been times people had to, you know what I mean, evacuate the home or whatever, you know what I mean, in order to make it happen. Now, what type of movies are you, what is your favorite, I should say, or what is it that you're focusing on? Is it love movies, science fiction? You know, what type are you working on now?
Well, I mean, I like real stories. You know, I really deal with social issues. That's, you know, like, the fuzz in the jive was a social issue. Have the beginning, my first three short films is compiled into what's called the Real Life series, and that's the fuzz in the jive, it's Hot Like Fire, and then there's Choices. And they're dealing with real life issues that people face, you know, like Hot Like Fire deals with a promiscuous young lady on a college campus who is intentionally giving people HIV.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, this is one of your films you coming up with, or this is some real talk?
Shot. This was a film that I shot already when I was in. I shot three films while I was.
What's the name of this movie?
That's called Hot Like Fire. It's a part of this real life series. You can if you go to my MySpace page, myspace.com/SkeboFilms, that's SkeboFilms. If you click on the poster, the fuzz and the jive, you can order the real life series right there
on
the website.
That's crazy, but you're right. You know what's funny that you mentioned that? When I first moved out here to Las Vegas, you know they have the Bunny Ranch out here. Okay, well, not here, but it's actually, you know, it's in Nevada, but not in Vegas, probably about a couple of hours, whatever. And they were talking about how they were warning a lot of the men that were here, and I heard the story of how some of the women knew they were HIV positive, and they would sleep with the men. And the man would wake up the next morning, and in red lipstick, they would write, "Welcome to the world of AIDS."
Mm.
So, I mean, I've heard that story, you know, several times. Don't know if it's fiction or not, but it's just spooky to even think of it possibly being true. But it's amazing, you know. So, PB Philly, come on, shout out to the Bunny Ranch. Hot mess. But it's just, it's interesting because it is people out there that are evil and manipulative like that. And to me, if you know that you have it, to me, that's like taking a loaded gun and shooting someone. You might as well shoot them.
Oh, yeah, certain states.
You know, I believe people should go to jail for that. If you know you have it and you intentionally going around burning people and you know what I mean?
Yeah. They actually have laws in certain states now that do that, you know, because that's where I worked at the radio station on campus for a little while, and we got a fax about a young lady and a guy. It was two different incidents in Connecticut. Guy played basketball, and he found out he had AIDS, and he ended up giving it to, like, 23 women. You know, and all of
those people on purpose, because, intentionally.
Yeah, intentionally. He knew he had it, but because he played basketball, you know, the women were flocking to him. And so he was like, all right, cool, I'm going to just give everybody this free 99 package. You know, and I mean, it was sad that, you know, that it was like that, but
yeah,
you know, to me, I thought it was a real, real problem. So I said, well, why not do a film on it? Then there were several cases of, you know, like STDs being on the rise on our campus, and school asked me if I could do some type of film or video that would help, you know, bring some awareness to the problem. So that's where that one came from. And then we did Choices, which is about relationships, people making choices, you know, your career over your relationship. So those are the three short films in the Real Life series.
Yeah. Now you're going to do one on the down low, brothers. You know, that's another academic issue that we have. I don't want to just say
I don't.
In the black community, but...
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I don't really, I know people have different lifestyles, and whatever they choose is their particular choice, but I really don't want to focus on that, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, like I said, I want to deal with issues, which brings us to, like, my feature film, Victim of Circumstance, which deals with the domestic violence issue. It's about a young lady. She's an aspiring model. She's dealing with the recent murder of her sister, but she's trapped in this domestic violence relationship with her live-in boyfriend. And through her trials and tribulations of trying to get out of this situation, you know, she meets the man of her dream. Now, however, she brings this man into all a world of corruption, violence, and deception. And we really have to find out what's going to happen to her as all of her worlds begin to collide. You know, and I'm pretty sure you've seen people who may carry baggage from relationship to relationship, not knowing when it would, you know, actually catch up to them. And that's how this film came about. It's actually based on a true story that I witnessed while I was in college. And I kind of got caught in between of two of my classmates and their domestic violence dispute. And the young lady brought me into the situation not knowing.
So I was
like, I'm sitting there like, nah, this dude is, I mean, doing all kinds of stuff. He broke into her house. He had a had a power cut off, had a phone cut off. He broke a bottle, cut it on her neck. He cut some of her hair up, cut up all her clothes. I mean, this dude just went straight loco. And it was just, I just was like, okay, I'm just going
What the world is what is this world coming to?
Drama.
My goodness.
Drama.
I don't know if that's bad or I heard Chi-Town, Finest. I love her show. She was speaking how, you know, she's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this episode took place in Chicago or not, but I remember her saying she's seen it on the news and how this boyfriend, he was a brother. This is the thing that really tripped me out. Killed his girlfriend, filleted her, and ate her.
Oh,
and then called the police and said he fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What the mess is going on? And I was tripping when I heard her, like, did I hear that right? So I had to rewind it and make sure I heard it right. I was like, she sure did. She said he fucked her. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is going on with the world today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It make you want to take a psychiatric test on some of these folks before you get involved with them now. Golly.
You got to. Hey, I be having to ask chicks for identification. Your name ain't Peaches. Yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? You might have to take out a warrant. I can't go down and say I got assaulted by peaches.
Okay. Knock me out. You can't go down there talking about little Pookie to knock me out.
Right, exactly. No, it ain't going down like that. You got to get some identification on these folks nowadays. But I think it really, people have just lost the love for each other, you know. There's no respect for human life anymore. People don't care about, you know, each other like they used to. You know, it's all about a dollar bill. Everything is all cutthroat. You know, when you're dealing with people, you got to remember, like I say, always say that you learned everything that you needed to know when you were in elementary school. Treat people how you want to be treated. You know, follow directions. Don't be a tattletale. You know, if we treated people how they wanted to be treated, then we wouldn't have some of these problems that we have out here. But
that's what's up.
You got to realize that every woman out here is somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's mother. And, you know, you can't just treat them any old kind of way. Women should be treated with total respect and honor, you know what I'm saying? Because, I'm a very spiritual type of person, and reading Proverbs. And, you know, Proverbs, the wisdom is referred to anywhere in the Bible in the feminine context. And I got to ask, why is that? Because women are very wise. Women will get you out of trouble. They will keep you out of trouble, you know.
Okay.
They are the wisdom in that relationship. Men tend to think more logically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women will bring that emotional or that reasoning to it. And it talks about how wisdom is more precious than, you know, silver and gold. You know, rubies. Mm-hmm. You know, and you should obtain it. You got to have that wisdom, you know. So, and I think referring to it in the feminine form, if people go back and look at these kind of things, you would respect women a little bit more differently. I mean, would you want somebody to treat your, you know, you going out to this club, would you want somebody to grab it on your mama booty like that?
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
You'd be ready to fight.
Calling her out her name, you know.
That's
or calling your mama a hoe. Nah.
Okay, you be ready to fight. Let somebody call your mama out her name.
So why
that's
you
going to
treat
up.
Somebody's sister like that? Why you going to treat somebody else's daughter like that? You know?
That's right. Hey, you got to give respect in order to get it. Real quick, we're going to take a commercial break, and then I got some listeners in the chat room that can't wait to get at you. They've hit me with several questions. However, please call in. Feel free, 646-716-8697. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Creation. Need to hook up your MySpace page? Or you need that official fly for this special event of yours? 2D Creations, graphic and web design. 2D Creations, bring your business to life for very low prices. We also design websites, album covers, and offer photography sessions as well. PB Creations, www.pbcreations.com. That's Creations with a Z. Let us bring your vision to life.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's at. The most impressive show
on internet radio.
Brown Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews,
and gossip.
Breathtaking topics. The latest fashion.
Health and beauty tips.
Underground hip hop.
And artists to make you groove, and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm gonna take my time so I can get a sensual seduction.
All right, and we are back. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to take some callers at this time. I appreciate your patience. And Troy actually has another show he has to do, so if you want to call, now is the time, 646-716-8697. All right, I see we have 347. You're on the air with Brown Sugar. What's happening?
What's crackin', y'all?
What's going on?
Y'all know what it is. Y'all know what it is.
Is this the man, J5?
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm the one that invented the J5 dance that Puffy stole from me and put on a running show, you know, the Puffy the crook. But I won't go into that.
Right.
I won't go into that on the radio because we all know he's a crook. That's that. I'm the one that's man enough to say it, you know.
Right, all right.
Now, I don't want to
be. I can barely hear you. What you got in the background, J5? You got a radio? Are you in your car or something?
Now, I got my Bluetooth because my phone's acting up.
Is it better now?
Yeah, much better.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to get sued by Puffy. You know, Puffy be like, yeah, I know where he live at. He live in Brooklyn. You know.
Okay. Oh, wow.
No.
Okay, so go ahead. Shoot your questions. You have several for them in the chat room, and I wanted you to call in because there's other listeners that may have the same questions or my archive listeners that may want to know, and he can go ahead and answer it across the board for all of them.
Well, basically, I just want to know, you know, like the old phrase by Tony say, can I get a job? You know? I don't know if you guys, you guys know that song, but, you know, that's when he says in that part, can I get a job, you know, and everyone says no, but I ain't kind of hearing no. I want to hear yeah. No, they always say that New York City is like, you know, the capital of the world, to where everything you want to do is at your fingertips. But see, that's BS, because one thing about New York City, it's not about what kind of talent you have. It's all about who you know, and if you don't know anybody, or if you're not a criminal trying to make a rap album, you can't get nowhere, you know what I mean?
Well,
you know,
I feel what you're saying, and yeah, definitely it's a business of who you know, but, you know, like, we living in a time period now, man, where it's like you can make things happen regardless of what it is that you want to have happen. Like, you got to decide what it is that you want to do within the film industry. You know, I mean, do you want to operate the camera? Do you want to do lighting? Do you want to direct? Do you want to be an actor? Do you want to be a producer? Do you want to be a script supervisor? Do you want to do the musical score? I mean, if you look at the movie credits, man, all of those are careers or jobs for somebody. Now, if you
what I want to do is not a problem. I mean, I just want to, you know, to maybe get my feet in the door so I can work in different areas and see, you know, experience everything because one thing I learned from Spike Lee growing up as a kid, Spike Lee said, you know, in his book, it's good to know what you want to do, but he also said it's better to know everything before you do what you want to do. That way, when you start doing everything in your career, you can always tell the person, well, you know what, I've done this, I've done that, I know this, I know that, now let me move on to what I want to do. And with me, what I want to do, like in film or TV, I want to be like in front of the scenes as well as behind the scenes. You know, someone to work, helping the director, helping the producers, and so on like that. You know, being an assistant and, you know, and guiding the talent, helping them out, helping them be better people.
Okay. Well, that's what you would call a first AD. That's the first assistant director. You know, they do the scheduling for the shoots. You know, they conduct rehearsals sometimes when the director's not there. They have the director with different shots and things of that nature. What I would say, if that's the area that you want to go into, there's a variety of different film projects that go on in New York. If you're trying to, you know, start out, there's plenty of film schools. You got NYU, you got Columbia, you got the NYU.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I don't have $185,000.
No. This is what I'm saying. You don't have to go to the school. There are students who are shooting projects all the time. They have to create projects for their class. In order for you to get some experience, volunteer, get up on their set, see what's going on, learn what they do, because they can definitely need some help. It may not be any pay involved in it, but you learn it, and then you can say, well, look, I got my name and the credits in here as the first assistant director. You can get a copy of that film, take it to, you know, somebody else, because this is the type of business where each job leads to the next. Like if I'm directing this particular film, somebody might like my directing style and say, okay, look, I want you to direct my music video, or I want you to direct a commercial for us, just because they like my style. Or they might say, okay, look, we're doing a film, I got a script, I don't have a director, but we're going to hire you to be the director. So that's how it works. And, yes, it's all about networking. You have to really consume yourself in this business, man. This is a passion for me, man. I love it. I breathe, sleep, eat, and, hey, sometimes I, shit. it's industry, man. You know what I'm saying? It's
keeping
that
it real
serious.
With y'all.
It's that serious, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean,
one thing you got to do, you got to shit. One thing, you got to shit. We don't shit, you backed up full of stuff, and you don't want that. You know?
Right, right. But what I'm saying is that's just the passion that I have for this industry, man. You know, like I've been this script I wrote this script back in 2002, man, for this film, and right now we're just to the point where it's becoming a reality. You know what I'm saying? I've been studying this industry. I've read countless books. I've read countless scripts, feature scripts, short scripts, broke them down, you know, dissected them. I've talked with countless actors, producers, anybody who would listen to me and, you know, and offer some insight, I would do it. I spent hours and hours and hours, man, in the library. Like, Alfred Hitchcock is one of my favorite directors. Spike Lee is one of my favorite directors. Steven Spielberg is one of my favorite directors. My radio name is a tribute to two of my favorite directors, Spike Lee and Steven Spielberg. You know what I'm saying? That's Spike Spielberg, but it's S-P-I-L-L. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
How you came up with that name. I was going to ask you, how did you come up with it?
That's how that came about. You know what I mean? But it's a tribute. It's no disrespect to anybody. You know, they paved the roads, you know, especially, you know, Steven Spielberg been shooting films since he was 12 years old. So, of course, at this particular point, he's going to be official with it. You know, Steven Spielberg, he couldn't even get into the film schools that he wanted to. Like USC and UCLA are the top film schools in California. He couldn't get into them because his grades weren't high enough. You know, but he studied at another school, AFI, you know, and learned all of the techniques that he needed to learn, networked and made it happen. And then, look, DreamWorks is all over the place. You know,
he shot Star Wars. He was like, he was 17 when he did Star Wars.
No, that was George Lucas.
I thought Spielberg did Star Wars.
That was
he told them all, okay, gone. Spielberg. I ain't mad at you.
Spielberg did Jaws.
I like Jaws.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there's a new Jaws movie coming out. I don't know if Spielberg is doing this new Jaws movie, but there's a new one coming out this summer.
Yeah. But, you know, pretty much, but see, like a lot of these people, man, like George Lucas didn't make his first feature film until he was 31. He didn't make Star Wars until he was 31 years old, man. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So people think it's like, you know, it's an age thing or whatever. Spike Lee didn't make his first feature until he was 29. But you got to go back and look at that. There were other short film projects, other research that was done before this happened. It's not something that happens overnight, man. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into this, you know, and I'm learning every day. I mean, you know, each project that I do, each commercial that I do, each video, it's like I learn something different. And that's you have to constantly be evolving in this particular industry, man. So, I mean, don't discredit yourself and say, well, I just want to be an assistant director. That's cool and everything. But be a director, man. Write a screenplay.
Bigger than that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Write a screenplay. Produce that thing, man. It's possible, man. You can do whatever you want to do nowadays. If that's what you want to do, go to, like, moviescripts.com, download some of the movie scripts of your favorite films, and dissect them, break them down, look at the format, look at how, I mean, every story has a beginning, middle, and end, you know, and they say people in New York got a million and one stories, you know, so, you know, I mean, you got a million and one stories, I know you got at least one in you, you know what I'm saying, write it down, man, everybody can relate to something, whether it's a situation that happened with you and your family, or whether one of your homeboys might have went through an interesting situation, like Hot Like Fire. Just to give you a little bit of insight, that was something that came because I used to have to take my cousin to the clinic all the time. He never could learn. Like, look, man, I just keep getting burnt. And I'm like, man, look, man, strap up, dude, strap up. You know, I'm not taking
you. Right, you got to learn.
You know, he didn't really contract HIV or anything, but that was kind of like the start of the story. And then from there, you just let your imagination take over. And it just goes from there. You know, so it could be, you know, you have a piece of dialogue. It could all start from a sentence. You got dialogue with you and a young lady that you were going out with, and she like the most interesting word in a screenplay or a stage play is the word no.
Mm.
No creates conflict because each character has an objective that they are trying to get in a particular scene and throughout the entire movie. So in this particular, and you always have to think in terms of action. Like my in this one, this is a fictional scene, man and woman, and they're together. They're in a living room, and this young lady, her objective is to seduce this man. So there's action that has to take place on how you should seduce her. So you have to be very descriptive. What does she have on? I mean, what does she smell like? What color is her hair? How her eyes are low. She smells like Apple Bath and Body Works Annihilators or something. There's wine on the table. You have to be very descriptive so that people can see, your vision and what you're communicating. You have to be a visionary. But through that scene, she has certain ways that she's going to entice this man. Is she going to put her hand on his thigh? Is she going to flirt with his hair? Is she going to, accidentally drop something and bend over? It could be a lot of different ways that you can play it, but there's an objective. And actually, the film industry will teach you a lot about life and people, too, because, when you talk, one of the things when you're dealing with actors and stuff is motivation. What motivates the actor to do something? You have to have an objective. You got to have a goal, just like you as an individual have to have a goal and you have to have an objective. And there's certain things that motivate you to get to that particular objective. It's the same way when you're dealing with characters in a script. These people have motivation. Like, if you go and look at, what's that, Friday After Next. These dudes, their whole motivation is they need money to pay that rent. If they don't get the money to pay the rent, they out of the house. You know what I mean? So everything that they encounter through the entire story is to find that money. They get jobs as security officers. They don't want to do that, but they trying to find a way to conquer the goal, which is to get the money to pay the rent. That's how you got to look at it like that.
That's how you got to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, J5, calling in tonight and, asking questions, because I'm sure a lot of the other listeners in the chat room wanted to know some of the same questions that you have. And so most definitely, I appreciate you tuning in tonight and showing Brown Sugar Radio some love.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
Well, if you're in New York, man, you should come and check out the film. We're going to be at the Village East Theater, man, on 2nd Avenue at 12th Street. It's March the 3rd. It's going down at 6 p.m. It's part of the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival, man. So, you can come out there, get your network on. It's going to be other filmmakers out there. Like I say, if you talk about you want to do it, you got to be around it.
Do me a favor, Brush Sugar, is he going to put it in your message board? The information?
The information?
Yeah, is he going to put it in your message board? That way I can go to your message board, and copy it and post it onto my bulletin. That way I can, make a note of it on myself and mark it as my calendar, put on my calendar for myself.
Sure, absolutely. Just give me all the information so that I can post it right underneath your flyer. And that way
tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow, I can go to your page, and then I just copy it and post it onto my calendar, so that way I don't forget.
Absolutely, that'll work. Definitely.
I mean, it's a good the good question that you had there, man. It would take a long time, but if you really want to learn, you can listen to my show. I come on weeknights at 11 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/skivofilms, and that's what we want to do. We want to be a resource and an inspiration for people who want to get into the filmmaking industry, man. We got a gentleman coming on tonight as a part of the African American channel. It's a new independent channel that's looking for programming. So, the avenues are out there. You just got to want to do it. I really believe this industry is about having passion and being like Nike and just doing it.
That's it.
And
yeah.
Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar is doing it. We got
I'm
to give it up for Brown
it.
Sugar because she is making it happen. Yo,
oh.
She got the music playing in the background.
Okay, y'all. Got the Neo going.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And she just got
You know what, though? I can't even take full credit for everything because, like I say all the time, y'all know my motto, teamwork makes the dream work. And I have an incredible group of people that pull together and help Brown Sugar Radio make it do what it do. Y'all already know that I got PB. He does my banners and flyers, does an excellent job. And if y'all haven't checked out Choice Flyer,
I need some banners.
Excellent. Oh, my gosh.
I need some
yes.
banners. Where the brother
That's
at?
It. You got to check it out. Check it out. You can hit him up at www.pbcreations.com, and that's creations with a Z.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, just the footwork behind that. Then I got Collard Greens, who did my theme music for me. And then I also had Daryl, who did my commercials. So, I mean, it takes a team, you know, in order for success. And I wouldn't dare take all this credit myself. But by all means, I appreciate the love and support.
I like
and,
it. Yeah,
that's what's up.
Dream work. I like
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
You say, you know, your network is your net worth.
Right.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm.
That's it. And so we all pull together to make it happen. And then, you know, that's the ultimate result that we get is success. So I appreciate, you know, just everyone, even the loyal listeners. I can't even just say just the people that help with Brown Sugar Radio, but I appreciate my loyal listeners like J5 that come and check me out. And I know you also do Spike Spielberg. I appreciate you coming through when you can. I know you're a busy man, but, you know, it feels good to have loyal listeners that come back through on a regular, and I remember you. That's why I always try to shout you out. I got CC in the house. That's another loyal listener that checks me out.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, yeah, I mean, just, you know, just it's a blessing to have the support that you do. And I'm sure you can recognize that because of the fact that, you know, it obviously takes an army, you know what I mean, in order to have the kind of success you do with making movies,
hey,
backstage, props, and, you know.
Right. I mean, without my actors and my crew people and, you know, and everybody else, you know, the countless investments. You know, even if somebody donated a dollar, they, you know what I mean, that contributed to something, you know what I'm saying? So it's like all of those things matter. And, you know, having good people and a support system, you know, family, you know, all of that stuff, it definitely helps. And, you know,
yeah.
It's just good to have that kind of stuff. And sometimes you got extended family because Brown Sugar is
Absolutely.
Part of the extended family.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, so when you hit that big film now, you got to send your girl some free tickets now so I go and check you out.
No doubt. Well, we got a pair of tickets waiting for you if you want to come to New York, you know.
You did tell me that. Now, what's that all about real quick? I know you got to get going here, but what tickets was you talking about?
This is tickets for the film screening. You know what I'm saying? They are reserved at the front desk for Brown Sugar Radio.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying? So it's real official. We're going up on Thursday. Thursday is the opening night of
Uh-oh.
The New York International Independent Film and Video Festival. It's going to be lots of
good
stuff. He got
the crowd going crazy. He got opening night. Y'all check him out. What's the date again?
It's March 3rd. It's the film screening. March 3rd, 6 p.m., the Village East Theater in New York City. You can get your tickets by logging on to nyfilmvideo.com, or you can shoot me an email at spikespielberg@yahoo.com. That's spikespielberg@yahoo.com.
All right.
So
yes, that's what's up.
To do, like I said, I come on weeknights at 11 p.m.
Okay.
All Talk Radio. Check us out. You want to get some insight on the film industry, you know, and we bring on different film and executive industry people. It's the people that you don't see that are making this stuff happen, the executive producers and, you know, the people that are writing the scripts. Because without no script, there is no film.
That's what's up.
So
you right about that. All right, well, it's been a pleasure. I have enjoyed you tonight. I want to say thank you so much for coming through. You know you are welcome anytime to
longer.
Come back.
I wish I could stay longer.
I know. You're just a busy man and got another event to do, so I ain't mad at you. You got to go on and make that paper.
But you know what? There's a big event that happens in Vegas every year.
Okay.
It's called NAPTE, NAPTE.
Okay.
You might want to check it out, you know, for people who want to get into that film thing. It's right there in Vegas, you know.
Uh-huh.
You just go check it out. There's film festivals all over the country. Get in where you fit in.
All right. All right. Well, definitely, you know I want my tickets now, so I'm about to hit you up after the show for that.
All right, cool. Contact me anytime.
Yeah.
You know the number, sugar.
Okay, that's it. All right. Well, be blessed. Have a good evening, and we'll definitely keep in touch.
That's what's good. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, Troy. All right, y'all. Well, that was Spike Spielberg in the house, a.k.a. Troy Whitehurst. I'll say White Horse. Whitehurst. Oh, that's funny. Yes. Well, y'all know tomorrow night we have the man of the hour, who is also one of my clients. I'm his booking agent. We got the sexiest wolf on the planet. Y'all better give it up. The Wolf. Tomorrow night, VH1, woof, woof, woof. But he's not here just about I Love New York. We've already talked about there, been there, done that. Tonight, or tomorrow night, we're going to have him on talking more so about his music and, you know, other stuff, right? We over I Love New York, right? We want to talk about the new and exciting things. And so definitely, if y'all interested in booking him, stay tuned tomorrow night. I can let y'all know the business, what you need to do in order to book him for a bachelorette party or take him to your prom, whatever you want to do. Holla at your girl, Brown Sugar, okay? Anything's possible for a small, simple fee. So, yes, y'all got to keep it locked tomorrow night. Y'all didn't know that my boy Wolf has some skills with some music. We're going to make a do-to-do tomorrow night. Be there, be square. However, this is the thing. Wolf will be at 8:30 p.m. because of scheduling conflicts, and he, the loyal person he is, he has a good heart. He didn't want to cancel out on the fans. So he will be here at 8:30 tomorrow night, which is Pacific Standard Time, which is 11:30 Eastern, so that might be late for some of y'all, but the true Wolf fans, y'all going to hang in there, right? Right, right, right. Y'all going to hang in there and make it do what it do. Then on Thursday night, we have R&B singer E in the house. Y'all be nice to E. Don't be booing on him now. Last time he was here, y'all did my brother dirty. Booed his song and everything. Y'all show some love. Tomorrow, Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, he's going to be here with his hot new single Like That. And then some new singles. I told him to bring his new stuff out since I wasn't feeling the other single that the brother had. So y'all be nice to him now, okay? Y'all don't be doing him dirty. All right? Hey. So fresh and so clean, clean. Ain't nobody dope as me. Hey, y'all ready to get ready tonight? These the last little 6 minutes of the show. All right, so I just want to say thank you so much, all of y'all that come through. I know it is a during the week, especially the work week. It's hard, you know, you're tired, you don't want to log in, but I appreciate the loyal listeners that I have. I even have some listeners that are actually on the phone. However, y'all didn't hit me up. Y'all asked me not to pick you up on the air, so I'm going to show you some love and not do that. But I appreciate y'all coming through faithfully every week. That's what's up. Spread the word about Brown Sugar Radio. For those of you who are interested in becoming a Brown Sugar Radio promo team member, hit your girl up at www.brownsugarradio.com. All right? At yahoo.com. I'm sorry, www. I'm giving you my link. Hit your girl up at www. That's my cell link. Hit your girl up at brownsugarradio@yahoo.com. That's my email. The show link, for those of you who want to spread the word for your family members, it'll be, you know, www.brownsugarradio.com. My MySpace, if you want to add Brown Sugar Radio, this also helps, to your top friends, okay? We would love that. You can contact us at www.brownsugarradio. I'm messing up tonight. I'm so tired. It's Brown Sugar in Vegas. That's what's up on that. Brown Sugar, and remember, it's sugar, S-U-G-A, all right, Brown Sugar in Vegas for the MySpace page. For those of you who are also interested in sponsoring Brown Sugar Radio, and we advertise for you, you can put advertising in the subject link, and we'll definitely look at your product, see what you have. Even other Blog Talk Radio hosts, I certainly, by all means, would love to network and cross-promote with one another. And so any shows you have, you want us to shout it out on Brown Sugar Radio, certainly we can do that, and you show us some love by doing likewise on your show. So that's what's up with that. I do have some more exciting shows coming up for the month of March. I don't want to spill the beans just yet, but every Tuesday and Thursday, y'all definitely keep it locked. There's a lot of great things happening over the next few days. You want to tune in. And I just want to say, like I said, I appreciate each and every one of you. It's a great feeling to know that you do have the kind of support in order to have a successful show. It certainly wouldn't be successful without each and every single one of you. So I do appreciate all of you calling in and showing some love here tonight. And so I see another caller here. Go ahead and pick this call off the line. 623, you're on the air with Brown Sugar. What's happening?
Hey, Brown Sugar.
Hey, what's going on, Pocket? What's happening?
Oh, nothing. I just decided to call in and say hello, see what's going on. You know, try
okay.
to take a break from school.
I heard that, girl. Yeah, well, what we're doing is we are wrapping it up here. We have Spike Spielberg on the line, and he's a black filmmaker, and he was just kind of filling us in and telling us a little bit about what it takes in order to make it in the film industry. Then he was getting into about how you can prep yourself with education and all. And then the thing I really enjoyed the most about him was how he shared with us that his movies are all based upon, like, real-life stories, you know? So it's good, you know. he was talking about when he was in college that there was a young lady that was abused, you know, and then there was, I guess she got frustrated. And so she knew she was HIV positive, and she was running around burning these men, you know. And I'm like, wow. And I guess it was about 20 men or something that she slept with. So he made a film on it. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is deep.
Sad, huh?
It is.
It's a mean folk in the world, ain't it, girl?
Well, you know, hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
Yep.
I've heard that said a lot. And she was probably, there was a true story going through some mess, but I don't even have the time to go into that. And I
okay.
know you're brown sugar. That's a
okay.
whole
okay. okay. Girl,
but,
okay.
Wow,
we last for 5 minutes.
Well, I definitely have to check out.
We have our own show.
Really? We'll have to check
okay.
out here,
That's it.
Movie.
So you're taking a break from school today, huh?
Yep. I did a midterm, and I was like, forget it. I'm going home.
I heard that, girl.
Calling in the show, trying to get caught up in the entertainment news.
That's it. Yeah, girl. Well, tomorrow night we got Wolf. I don't know if you heard that part or not. And then on Thursday I have an up-and-coming artist named E. He's an up-and-coming R&B artist, and he will be here this Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is, I believe, 8 o'clock your time. So, I don't know. Are you still in school on those nights?
Yeah, but I might sneak out after my presentation to say what's up to Mr. E.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because he's, like I say, last time he was on the show, right? Oh, J5, you want me to unmute you? I'm sorry, sweetie. I thought you was done talking. Hey, J5.
Huh?
You still there?
Yeah, I know. I mean, the comment I wanted to make was that this woman that was going around burning all those guys, first of all, the guys got what they deserved, because if you're going to sleep with someone without,
mm-hmm.
you know, using a condom and you don't know this person, then,
mm-hmm.
then you get what you deserve. I'm not making an excuse for her. I mean, she was just as wrong. But the guys,
right, they should have had more sense.
Right, so the guys are stupid. So I mean, I don't feel sorry for guys like that when they do something that
mm-hmm.
that stupid. I'd be like, you know, same thing with the woman. If she's gonna sleep with a guy that she
mm-hmm.
meets at a club and
mm-hmm.
one night stand and don't use any protection, they both get
mm-hmm.
what they deserve because they both stupid. So right here,
right.
I don't feel sorry for him. I'd be like, I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, why should someone feel sorry for you
mm-hmm.
when you were dumb enough to go around having a one night stand? That's how people mm-hmm. when they go and have a one night stand, then something happened. Oh, okay, I got pregnant. Well, good, your
right.
dumb ass should have gotten me. Your dumb ass should have gotten pregnant because if you were smart, you wouldn't have had no one night stand with someone that you just met. So, you know,
what do you think about that, Pocky? What's your perspective on that? Do you think it's the person's, you know, should they have, are they getting what they deserve, or do you feel like it's wrong what the other person is doing?
You know, I think we all need to be responsible adults, and, you know, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be fornicating, then, you know, bring your equipment, bring your rubbers, and take your pills, girlfriends, you know. Don't let the man be responsible for protecting himself. You need to do it for yourself, too, but at the same
right.
time, you know, you can't fault people for getting caught up in the moment. But like you said, if you slip once and catch something, that's what you get for slipping. So the consequences outweigh the action by far. And that's what I got to say
yep.
about that.
Well,
okay,
first of all,
that's it.
There is no slipping when you go to a club and you go on, and you have.
He said there is no slipping. Come on, J-Pop, you ain't never got caught
no.
up.
Okay,
you
no.
seeing this female
no.
and you like,
no.
damn, she fine, but I ain't got none
no.
on me.
No, first
yeah.
of all, I ain't go to no club looking to get laid. Those are horny people.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said I never went to no club or to no party looking to get laid. I mean, those people who ain't got no sense. Those are the ones who just want to get out there and try to be stupid and everything. So I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, when I was growing up, like every young kid. You do your dirt and everything, but if I didn't have any protection or she didn't have any protection, no, put it like this, if I didn't have any protection because the condoms that she had, I didn't trust them. She could put holes in them. So if I didn't have any protection.
They bought his own stuff. Hey, that's smart,
yeah.
though. Yeah, that's smart. You got to do what you
yeah.
got to do, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't gonna tell them how many brothers running out here with babies because a woman poked a hole in the condom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sisters got to bring their own condoms, too, though, because, see, his brother's out there that poke holes in the condoms trying to get the sister on swallow. See, it worked both ways now. I done heard it both ways. You feel me?
That or men, they put condoms on to appease the woman and end up taking them off during the process, and that's not
oh,
cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's
done had
cool.
that, too. Yeah. Take it. Oh, I didn't know. Sorry. You know? It's a sad situation. I believe that, you know, it certainly isn't a predicament I ever want to get in. But by all means, you know, I think that as women and men, you have to be responsible, bottom line. And then if you have children, you need to educate them on the safeties, you know, of making sure they have, you know, safe sex. Because if they're going to do it, at least talk to them about it and the consequences, you know. And so it's
right.
important, you know. It really
I
is.
Say just scare the kids to death. Show them all them books about gonorrhea and syphilis and let them see how they self get toned up when they're out there just freaking whoever. That's what you need to do with the kids. Scare them to death. That's what I'm going to do with mine.
Show them the gonorrhea book, huh?
That's right.
Oh, that's funny.
You do that
icky-dicky,
you get the icky-sticky.
No, take them to the prison, too. And let them watch two men getting it on. I bet you they'll change their ways then.
Oh, now that's a whole other subject, and there's nothing wrong with that. Love is love. It's just all about protecting yourself, though. I'm disagreeing with you right there. Mm-mm.
Hey, I don't want to see two men getting it on. Oh, no.
Okay.
So you have a phobia? That's a topic for another show with the phobias. Cause
yeah,
I
okay. Hey, different strokes for different folks, okay?
Hey, there ain't no phobia. That's just like common. If a gay man hits on me, I'm like, listen.
Mm.
If you hit on me again, you're going to see Jesus a lot sooner than you want to.
You just don't feel comfortable around it. Uncomfortable feeling.
No is no. No means leave me alone.
But yeah, just because a man is gay doesn't mean he's going to hit on you.
I said,
they can tune each other out, though, right? They know it. Another gay man knows another gay man. It's like, another gay woman knows another gay woman. It's like they tune each other in. They know. It's a vibe they get.
No, I said if he hits on me, it's going to be a problem.
Why? Why can't it just be a compliment?
Picture me going to another man in the street. Yo, man, yo, you look good. Yeah, all right. That does sound very much gay. Me going to another man like, yo, you looking good, man. Shake that ass. Yeah, that does sound real
good. So
if
he's saying something that's sexual to you or something that is provocative, that's offensive to you. But if a gay man just came up to you and was like, oh, man, great basketball game, you wouldn't trip out off that, would you?
I mean, when he came up to me, it was like, make comments on my body part. But I'd be like, why are you looking at my body part for? Look at your own body part.
So that's funny, though, because it's only a problem if another man comments or says something to another man about his body part. But women have been suffering and going through this for years, and there's just nothing's wrong with that. It's a double standard right now. You can't accept a sexual comment from another man, but it's okay for men to just throw out sexual comments left and right for women.
I didn't say that. First of all, wrong is wrong. At the same way, women, y'all will go around and give each other a kiss on the cheek. Like, ain't nothing to it. Nah, no straight man is going to go to another man and, just give him a kiss on the cheek. That's just gay. And when I play ball.
Looking at my listeners in the chat room who have any call, we gonna stretch the show about another 5 minutes, y'all, and I gotta go because my kids are sitting here cutting up. But if you want to join this hot discussion tonight, you're more than welcome at 646-716-8697. That's 646-716-8697. You're more than welcome to come and join this hot topic that we have tonight. Okay, go ahead, whoever was speaking last. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that when I was playing high school and college ball and everything, I didn't like it when coaches or the other players will pat you on the ass. I'm like, listen, do not pat me on my ass. If you do it again, I'm knocking somebody out. I used to be like, real stuff about that. I said, no. I know it's a sign of, like, good play or whatever, but pat me in the back, pat me on the shoulder, pat me in the head. But now pat me on my ass. I mean, people look at me, my friends look at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, listen, my ass is my ass. Do not pat me on the ass. They'd be like, well, it didn't show of affection. Well, no, not that kind of affection.
Right.
It's a phobia, then. Are you afraid that you get hit on your ass? I mean, are you comfortable with your body?
Listen.
You're so silly.
Hey, a woman can pat me on the ass. I want no man.
You want a woman to come up and pop you on the ass. You don't want no man talking about, nice up.
I'll pat him with a baseball bat.
That's funny. I don't know. I can agree with you, wanting your space and not people to violate you as a person, but I can't see that there's anything wrong with another man. If you are attracted to him and he doesn't know your sexual orientation and he says, you know what, man, I really like that shirt. It brings out your shoulders. You're looking hot today. I don't see why there's anything wrong with that. Accepting a compliment from someone of the same sex, whether they're interested in you or not, you should be able to be an adult and say, you know what, thank you, and press on and not get offended.
All right, just move forward and don't worry.
Don't take it.
Well, this is how I feel about gay people, okay? And y'all don't take this in stone, y'all. This is just my opinion, all right? All my listeners out there tonight. My whole thing is they can only get away with or do what you allow them to in any relationship, rather it's heterosexual or rather it is homosexual. Right?
I gotta go. I gotta put a call coming in.
All right, go ahead. It's a girl calling. You keep listening to the show live on the computer. All right, because I got a point I want to make. All right, now he's hanging up, but he's still going to be listening to the computer, to the actual show broadcasting on through his computer. My point is, I feel like whether it's male, female, gay, whatever, straight, that other person can only do what you allow them to do, right? It's not as if you had a gun to your head or, somebody was like, you better sleep with me or I'm going to put this knife down your throat. You have a choice, right? We all have a choice in life to do right or wrong, to say yes or no, to, give permission or to not. And so if someone is approaching you and if you're uncomfortable with it, you know, just say something about it, you know, and if they continue to persist you, you know, then that's when maybe you can say, now, look, I can see you getting upset or offended or whatever, but I don't have a problem being uncomfortable around heterosexual or homosexual because I'm confident within myself, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know who I am, so it doesn't bother me, you know. I am a heterosexual. I'm not hating on homosexuals, but, I mean, if they like it, I love it. You know what I mean? That's up to them what they want to choose to do later on in life. You know what I mean? Hey, you can't stop it anyway. They're going to continue to be who they are.
Exactly.
You know?
But I just don't think it should be a matter. I mean, just hearing people say, oh, if someone gay me and said blah, 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 it's like they make it seem like gay people are just always on point, hustling, trying to hook
right.
up with people and just looking there and there. They're still people.
Right.
You know, they're,
right.
you're going to get to know the individual before you get to know their sexual orientation, and that's
uh-huh.
what should matter before you, you know, start saying what you will and won't do in a situation with the person.
Right.
That's well, just my stance and belief on that, but...
Yep.
You know, I love all people, and I believe very much in, you know, getting to know the person first, not judging them off of stereotypical beliefs, but knowing
right.
who they are as an individual. That's the most important thing as humans. You know, that's what we should be doing as people. Not just, it's too easy to judge, you know, but it's
right.
much harder to love.
Uh-huh, that's right. That's right. You got to love them where they're at. Think about how many homosexual people have committed suicide because they were... teased at school or beaten at school or, you know what I mean? You got to love them where they're at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's true. A lot of people, you know, they were going through that point in their life where they faced a lot of rejection, a lot of discrimination. And just because that individual may be gay, that doesn't mean you have to be.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to judge them or say harsh things, call them faggots and booty bangers and all that other stuff. That's unnecessary. Pray for them, love them for that, and I've always believed that if you praise people to success, you know, you love them, let God do the rest. That's not our job to change them anyway, if they ever will change. You know what I mean? You got to love people where they're at.
Yeah.
And so that's what's really important to me, you know, is it's just making sure that we take the time to pray for people and not judge them.
Nope.
You know, because like I said, think about how many people out there now that are on the verge of a nervous breakdown or suicidal because of all the rejection and hatred that they face.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
I mean, but it's getting better. You know, there's
yeah.
it's not quite as bad as it used to be, but, I mean, there's still room for improvement. With all things in this world, there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, yeah that's it. That's it. Welcome, guest 1621 to Brown Sugar Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight, and I appreciate the love. All right. Well, all my listeners in the chat room, I appreciate you coming through tonight. And Pocket, thank you so much for calling in and joining us on this hot topic. J5, thank you for calling, stirring the pot, and leaving us. I appreciate the love.
Sorry,
that was
I'm
cold,
right
huh?
here, and I'm ready to battle. Bring it, J5. Anything else
yeah.
you want to talk about, let's do it.
Okay, she ready for hot debate, okay? Hot debate. He going to run. I'm talking about he got an important phone call.
Mm, got too hot in the kitchen. He had to exit.
Oh, no, he going to put he had a booty call in the chat room. Yeah, sure, J5. Mm. Uh-huh. Anyway,
sure.
Like I said, it's been a fun night, and I have appreciated each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and close this evening. Remember, tomorrow night is Wolf Pocket. I got to have you on and have you co-host with me so we can battle these men, huh? We're going to have a battle of the sex.
Sure,
why not? I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay, absolutely. We're going to make it happen, Captain. All right, well, thank you so much for calling in, showing Brown Sugar Radio some love. And for all my listeners, like I said, I appreciate y'all calling and supporting the show. So we're going to go ahead and close at this time. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8:30 with Wolf. So once again, thank you for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Make it a great day.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's
happening.
That's where it's the most impressive show.
On Internet Radio.
Brown Sugar, Radio. Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip.
And gossip.
Breathtaking topics.
The latest fashion.
Health and beauty tips.
Underground hip-hop and R&B.
And artists to make you groove. And
and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with your girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm gonna take my time so I can get a sense.